com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bottle boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. And to the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host,
Dear Kitty, Kitty, Kitty. Yeah, kitty, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
I haven't heard this song in forever.
It's an old SummerSlam theme, along with the Invasion storyline and everything like that, but I like this song.
It's a fun song. It gets you pumped up. Wants you to, like, smash things.
It does. Remember, you can join us interactive on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio or at Rack Radio Show, or our interactive chat room at Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. Join in on the conversation tonight. We will tell you later in the show, probably like in a half hour, how you can win a copy of Daniel Bryan's new book, Yes, My Improbable Journey to the Main Event of WrestleMania. If you haven't, you know, already found out by the numerous posts on social media, or that we talked about on the Raw Post Show, or WTR Sunday Night. But we'll tell
Shameless
you
promotion.
We'll tell you more about it in about a half hour.
We will, because we have a lot to get into tonight. We have news, we have notes, we have NXT, we have SummerSlam, we have TakeOver. This is a huge, huge show. So I say we don't waste any time and we jump right into the news brought to you by friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans.
All right, where do you want to begin?
Thankfully, we don't have a lot of, like, huge news like we've had in the last couple weeks, you know. But I think we have to start with a rumor. Because it's a pretty big rumor.
You mean that Johnny Football actually threw a touchdown?
Johnny Football threw a touchdown.
That would be a Tyson Kidd fact.
Miz is probably freaking out somewhere right now.
Anyway, big rumor. What's the rumor?
Big rumor is that, well, WrestleMania may be headed to Minnesota.
That's the talk, at least according to the one of the VPs in Minnesota who did a video promoting the brand new stadium and said, we have WrestleMania coming.
Oops.
WWE has denied it.
Well, of course WWE has denied it because they're not going to announce it just yet. They don't announce the next city till a couple months from now.
Until right before next year's WrestleMania do they announce the coming following WrestleMania.
Yeah, so, and they have said in the past that if, well, you let it slip early that you're getting it, they can pull it. So we'll have to see if Minnesota does in fact get WrestleMania or not, or if WWE is like, yeah, the cat's out of the bag, we're going somewhere else. But WrestleMania in Minnesota in April or March, that will be cold. That will be really cold.
And it's an outdoor-ish stadium, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the stadium is covered, kind of, right?
I think by the new design it is. I think that's what it looked like to me. It looks like there's maybe some sort of roof. There's got to be a roof of some sort, you assume, since it's Minnesota and they play in the wintertime. So, you know.
Yeah.
They need to have one.
Snow and whatnot. But yeah, that will be cold.
I don't.
Like, we were doubtful of New York in April. Minnesota in April? No, thank you.
Apparently it's fully domed. The new stadium's going to be fully domed. Okay.
Okay, well, at least it's going to be fully domed, so it'll be covered, and also it'll get dark.
Yeah, for certain people, but it's like, do you really want to go to Minnesota for WrestleMania? That's not a travel destination. I'm just saying, you have Dallas, you have New York, you have San Francisco.
Even San Francisco in April isn't exactly warm. It's not cold, but it's not warm. Anywhere in April isn't exactly warm.
I'm not talking about warmth. I'm talking about travel destination.
Oh, I mean, in terms of travel destinations, you know, Minnesota is probably not the place you think of for...
It's right up there with Detroit.
Yeah. For going there in what is still considered winter up there. So, it's an interesting pick. I get why they're potentially going there. They've got the new stadium opening, and we all know WWE loves to set attendance records. I'm really eager to see if they decide to come back to Atlanta when the new Falcons stadium opens to do the same thing.
Because the Super Bowl is going to Minnesota the year after the supposed, whenever WrestleMania is supposedly scheduled for 2017.
Yeah.
Super Bowl's in 2018, so they like to get in there before the NFL does, like they did with WrestleMania this year and the New York before that and all the other fun stuff.
They like to be a-holes like that and set the attendance record before the NFL.
Yes, they want to do it. It's not hating on Minnesota. It's just, you tell me, you out of New York, San Francisco, Dallas, somewhere in Florida, or Minnesota, you would rather go to Minnesota. That's my point.
We're not hating on Minnesota. Minnesota is an absolutely beautiful place. Not hating on it at all. It's just Minnesota in April. It is cold. There is snow on the ground. It's going to be difficult. I shouldn't say all the time, but generally there is snow on the ground in April.
And
it's going to be cold. It's going to be difficult to navigate. It's going to be hard for people coming in. It's just when you think of it in terms of doing an event the size of WrestleMania where it's a multiple facility event and you're going to have, you know, 100,000 people coming into town for it, Minnesota is not the place you think of.
No, it's not.
Especially if it's Minneapolis.
Which it is.
Which will be... Because I'm not sure where the new stadium is in Minne. Is it in Minneapolis or is it in St. Paul?
As I Google this. Minneapolis, the way it seems like it's going to be. Yeah, you don't want to go there to see The Undertaker's retirement in Minnesota.
I love you, Taker, but I'm not flying to Minnesota to see you retire.
It's going to be in Minneapolis. According to Wikipedia.
I will fly to Dallas, but I will not fly to Minneapolis. It's just, it's an interesting choice. I get why they're doing it, but Minneapolis in April does not seem like a travel destination for me. But they could have lovely weather, they could have crappy weather, it all kind of depends. But an interesting rumor nonetheless, we'll have to see if it actually comes true, because again, rumor. But it was worth mentioning because, well, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But what's not rumored, and what's a hashtag fact, is, well, you can go spend a day with WWE in sunny Florida at the Performance Center.
Yeah, yeah, you can. And it would only cost you, like, a boatload of money.
Right?
Oh, yeah, they're doing something called the WWE All Access at the Performance Center, which is an interesting way to do it. The WWE Performance Center All-Access Experience will allow fans to share breakfast and lunch with NXT superstars and divas, meals provided, participate in a Q&A and orientation session with NXT coaching staff, attend a Q&A and autograph session with NXT superstars and divas, sign a one-day booking contract granting admission to a private NXT live event, at the Performance Center that will help you produce, manage, and watch alongside your favorite NXT superstars and divas. You get the all-access tour at the Performance Center, which has never been open to the public. Get an inside look at the private NXT training session, learn the ropes during a promo class, and then create your very own unique promo video. That actually seems like fun. Plus, you'll be able to take the experience home with exclusive keepsakes like a commemorative WWE Performance Center all-access credential, photo opportunities to capture and share your once-in-a-lifetime experience with friends, a gift bag from the Performance Center, a limited edition chair, personalized promo video, available post-experience, and a downloadable highlight reel, which will be available for post-experience. And this is all for the low, low price, beginning on Monday, August 24th at 12 p.m. Eastern for $1,499.
That's a lot of money.
It's space is limited. And we'll be first come, first serve. It's like 40 people, I think, they're going for. Yeah.
They'll probably get it.
They will probably get it. Sounds like a hell of a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it does sound like a hell of a lot of fun. You know what it actually sounds like to me? Is a better version of TNA's VIP experience for Bound for Glory. That's honestly what it sounds like to me, but it's for the Performance Center. Wow, the Bills defense is crap.
Johnny Football's got a swagger on against the third string. Hey, hey.
They've got to boost his ego, you know.
Yeah. By the way, it's football season. If you weren't here last week, it's football season. So we watch football and do the show.
Yeah, so there will be tangents about football, especially when the Eagles play the Falcons.
That Monday Night Post show is going to be something special.
There's going to be shit talk abounding from one of us. Probably him, because my team will suck this year. I feel it in my bones, y'all. I feel it in my bones.
But anyway, so there you go. It's a cool experience. Go and do it if you got the money to drop.
Oh, yeah. It would be pretty awesome, but only if I get to take an NXT superstar home with me.
No, you cannot take an NXT superstar home with you.
Damn it.
I mean...
And I'm not going.
I mean, you could probably fit Alexa Bliss in your purse, but that's about it.
I would love to bring Alexa Bliss home. That'd be awesome! My very own evil sparkle fairy.
Which we'll talk about later in the show.
Which we will. Just a couple... Well, actually, I should say, since I mentioned TNA, quick transition to TNA, they canceled an event,
yes,
but they added more.
They added more shows to their upcoming tour this fall, which is interesting, to say the least. This is where I went to their website to try to find it. There it is, their website's all a mess. They canceled one on the 18th, which is now in Morgantown, West Virginia. They've added the Road to Bound for Glory in Beckley, West Virginia on October 2nd, Salem on October 3rd. Then they have the Halloween tour with three nights in Louisiana, one in Biloxi, which is afterwards. And then, yeah, that's it. They've added four more shows after that. So, yay, TNA's on the road. Doing a lot
yay
of
for them being on the road. But I just have to ask one question.
What?
The Halloween tour, does it have an Abyss?
No.
How do you do a Halloween tour without Abyss?
He may be there. He's just not listed. You see Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy, Kurt Angle, EC3, The Wolves, Tyrus, who was on Fox Business tonight, apparently, and Rockstar Spud.
Again, how do you do a Halloween tour without a monster? Just somebody explain how.
I
demand answers.
I cannot give you an answer on that one.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, yay for TNA being on the road again. That's awesome news for them. Very, very happy to hear that. Maybe, possibly, they're starting to pull out a little bit. Maybe.
Maybe, hopefully. We'll see.
We'll have to see. But speaking of getting pulled, because I don't have any other transition for it, I am very, very, very sad to say that, well, Sci-Fi canceled Haven.
Yeah, former guest of the rack, Adam Edge Copeland, who, you know, we interviewed about said show, the show got canceled. Feel bad for him, but he has a role coming up on the CW.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Arrow, right?
Yeah, he plays...
Adam Smash or something like that, to effect?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So, he'll bounce back, but it sucks Sci-Fi after five seasons cancel the show. But, hey, we'll have reruns, so he'll be alright.
He'll be in syndication, he'll be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so sad to hear that his full-time gig got canceled, but from every time we've talked to him about it, he's had a blast, and I'm sure he will move on to bigger and better things, so best of luck to him.
It Flash. He's on The Flash. Thank you, Lemans. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. He's on one of the CW shows.
Yeah. Got them all confused.
Yeah. Quick congratulations to DDP, who got married.
Yay.
Yay. Congratulations to him and his lovely bride. And, well, we have to talk about this, because it's just too hilarious for words. Picture it. Brock Lesnar. He's having a little financial trouble. So what does he do? He takes a job as a parking attendant. at ESPN.
If you have not seen the video, after the show's over, go find the video. It's on YouTube. It's amazing. Brock Lesnar just greets people as they come in, and they're all scared.
I don't know how to take Brock Lesnar being personable and friendly. I don't know how to take that. Like, I'm sure he's a very nice guy in real life, but it's just seeing him like that, it's like, dude, no. You're supposed to be, like, mean and rip people's heads off and do things to The Undertaker that we don't like you doing. I can't take you being nice. Stop it. You're also missing Paul Heyman.
Yeah, you're missing Paul Heyman, who likes to sing in public now for you, Brock, so there you go.
Well, you know, he has to prove his devotion.
He does.
But it's an awesome little, like, minute, 45-second skit with Brock Lesnar as he's greeting people. He searches somebody's car. It's awesome.
It is very, very awesome. Speaking of Brock Lesnar, though, Lindsay, he is in the new WWE 2K16 video game, if there was any doubt.
I don't think there was any on my part, but there might have been some people.
There might have been some people, but we have more names to announce as we do every week here on the show, including Adam Rose made the video game.
Yay.
Bo Dallas made the video game.
Yay.
Brie Bella.
Not surprised.
Goldust.
Not surprised.
Returning to the video game as Heath Slater.
Yay.
Debuting as Hideo Itami.
Yay. And he looks really good, too.
He does. The all-American Jack Swagger.
We the people, yo.
Kevin Owens is in the video game for the very first time.
And he looks really, really good. They did a nice job on him.
His entrance is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Neville returns to the video game.
Yay.
Nikki's in the video game.
Again, not surprised.
The Nature Boy Ric Flair. Woo! Is in the video game. You have Sami Zayn is in the video game.
Yay.
Roman Reigns.
Yay.
Star Dust.
So you can do the Dust Brothers together.
You can. Sting, who looks really good in the video game.
Yeah, they did a nice job on the model.
The Ultimate Warrior is in the video game.
Alright.
Woo woo woo. Zack Ryder returns to the video game.
Hey.
And finally, Prince Pretty himself is in the video game, Tyler Breeze.
Tyler's in the game! Makes me so happy.
With the selfie stick and all.
No boo-boo yet.
No boo-boo yet. He's in the video game, but he's not.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's in. They just haven't announced him yet. And no Taker yet. But Taker's in the game. You know he is.
Exactly. But Kevin Owens' entrance, the new stills look really good. Sting looked really, really good. Neville looked really good. Hideo looked really good. They all look really good.
Yeah, you can tell that they've worked really hard on this. You can tell that they've made advancements, especially in the hair, in terms of the beards and the Divas hair, which is really nice. They look all very, very well done, very well modeled. You can tell a lot of people got scanned, and that makes all the difference in the world.
Right, and they showed you, there's the development team put out a video today where they show you how they've improved the creative faces thing works.
The scan-a-face?
Scan-a-face, where you can put your own face in the video game.
That's pretty cool.
They made the arrow in the video game, Stephen Amell. That was pretty cool looking.
Make him DLC.
You know, we already get the Terminator, so get us the Green Arrow.
Right? Somebody work it out with DC. I have no transition, but I guess we have to talk about Tough Enough.
Yeah, we have to talk about the Tough Enoughs because Tough Enough happened on Tuesday and things went down.
Holy shit. Oh my god, did things go down?
Alright, so where shall we begin?
The beginning is usually a good place.
The beginning. So they all learn their finishing move this week. ZZ has the gator thing he caught, the gator grab.
Gator grip.
The gator grip, thank you. Where he puts his knee down, does a flapjack, and then he puts his knee into a guy's back and yanks on their face. It was actually pretty cool. They gave Sarah Lee the Russian leg sweep into the armbar like, Ronda Rousey. Amanda, they gave the running Bulldog or Stratus faction, whatever you want to call it. And, Tanner got the crossbody from the top rope, and Josh got a splash, Yeti call splash, and to a running power slam. He wanted to do a powerbomb, but they wouldn't let him do a powerbomb, because they're not at that stage yet.
No high impact moves for you.
No high impact moves for you. Overall, the judges were very positive on everybody. They were impressed by, you know, everyone for the most part. And, well, they sort of eliminated Tanner from the show this week.
In the shock of shocks, Daniel Bryan did not use the save that he had. So two of the three got used for the whole entire series. It came down to Bryan and whether or not he was going to use his save. And well, he was torn. He was really thinking about it, but ultimately he left it in the hands of the WWE Universe. And well, they have spoken. Josh and ZZ move on to the finals and Tanner is gone.
So now we got to talk about that was tough enough in a nutshell. Tough talk is where we gotta really talk about things. And they sort of went after ZZ, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, that seems to be the standard at this point is they attack ZZ. Tanner was not happy that he lost to ZZ. He was not happy that he was eliminated, rightfully so. You know, I wouldn't be happy, but it seems like whenever they don't have anything to pick on ZZ for, they always go after his cardio, which, to be fair, he's probably not improving the way that he should, and I will be completely honest with that. You know, he's probably not, and that's his own doing.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really seriously is. I don't have an excuse for that, you know, and shame on him for that.
And all three judges really went after him on that one. They really
Oh, yeah, and especially Brian, who was like, dude, I've seen you in the gym, you need to step up.
Gotta step up your game, and that's what he was most disappointed in, that he hasn't stepped up his game like he says he's going to at this point.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is Paige is like, he's not even mad, you disappointed Dad, you disappointed Brian.
Yeah.
Like, she actually called him Dad.
You did, she did, and it was kind of actually amusing.
It was, but, you know, it's kind of get back to the point whenever it's like, oh, ZZ does something good, or ZZ moves on, or ZZ whatever, they always seem to go after his cardio, because it seems like it's the only real thing they can go after him for. And one of the things that I found interesting was Tanner was like, well, he's been relying, you know, really heavily on his charisma, and he hasn't won any challenges, and, you know, he's manipulating the audience, and all of this was centering around the fact that Tanner wasn't entertaining. And I'm really curious to know what Tanner's definition of being entertaining is, because most entertainers rely on their charisma. They rest on the fact that they can manipulate a crowd. They pretty much do all the things that ZZ already does to get themselves over.
Yeah.
So it's like, what exactly do you think this is? You know, to be able to do what he can do, what he's really done, which is get himself to the final two, because realistically, he should have been gone in, like, what, week two, week three?
Somewhere around there, yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's been in the bottom most of the time, and he's made it to the final two, which says a lot for him in terms of the fan voting.
But that said, he brought up something where it's like he's manipulating the crowd and, you know, using the crowd to stay in the show. Hi, Tanner. Welcome to Tough Enough. This is a popularity contest. Thank you for joining into the show.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. If this was fan vote, if this was not a fan vote, if this was up to the judges,
no, different
ZZ would have been long gone.
ZZ would have been long gone. I would assume Sarah Lee would have been long gone. Hell, Amanda probably would have been long gone too, and she's in the finals. Just because if it was up to the judges, it would be different.
But it would be totally different.
But when you leave it up to the fans, this is what happened. You made it a popularity contest, and you gotta live with the results. And if you're angry and upset about it, well, next time don't sign up for American Idol WWE style.
Well, the thing is, it's like, they brought up a valid point with Tanner where it's like, well, you're not doing anything to improve your facial expressions. You're not doing anything to improve your personality or work on your charisma or anything like that. It's like he's sitting there watching the videos, but he can't apply what he's learning.
No, because with MMA training, it's the exact opposite. You're not supposed to show anything. So he's trained himself to do it in that manner. And he says, I'm going to take acting classes and everything. Good. That's what you need to do. Look at Roman Reigns. It's helped him.
Oh, it's helped him tremendously.
So you can be taught these things, but in a 10-week competition, if you don't know it, you sort of fall behind.
There's a difference between having to be taught it and then having it naturally, and between Josh and Tanner and ZZ, ZZ has it in spades, where he just has a very natural charisma to him, a very natural quality to him that the other two really don't possess. And that's ultimately, I think, what has carried him as far as it has, is just there's something about him that you want to push him through, you want to root for him, you connect with him.
Correct.
You know, Josh is kind of like, eh. Eh. And Tanner is like, you know, dude, my whole thing is like, they are all like, oh, you know, I won this challenge. I won that challenge. You know what? Winning challenges on a reality show doesn't mean really anything to anybody on the NXT roster. And that's ultimately who you're going to have to face if you win this competition is the NXT roster and the WWE main roster. They're not going to care that you won six competitions on a reality show, because this, you know, in comparison to what getting to the main roster takes versus this show is child's play. The real competition starts when you sign your contract with WWE, and then you got to fight for your spot.
Because then now you're competing not just against 13 others, you're now competing against 70 people.
And they all want to be there, and they all want this just as badly, if not more badly, than you. Like, that was kind of the other thing that kind of pissed me off about Tanner, was he was like, I don't really care. Not going to pursue it.
Pretty much, so we'll see what happens with him. The one other thing from Tough Talk.
Oh, Jesus.
So, Amanda.
Somebody learned a wrestling term.
Amanda, who plays the character on Tough Enough, decided to learn a wrestling term and was calling out Miss Sarah Lee, who was not so sweet and innocent, according to Miss Amanda. She called her, and I quote, a ring rat.
Not only on the show, but on Twitter as well.
On Twitter as well, and WWE was not happy about this at all. That Paige lost her mind when she said it. It was quite
amazing. Paige's reaction was priceless. Absolutely priceless.
And Sarah didn't do anything to really defend herself. I wonder if Amanda knew exactly what she meant by ring rat.
I wonder if Sarah knew.
Yeah. She may be, there's pictures of her hanging out with NXT people, but guess what? You're in the same proximity with these people that you're trying to learn the business from, you know, go for it. If she is doing what a real ring rat is, she's young and let her do it.
Well, here's the thing. All right. Here's the minute difference between what a ring rat is and what a ring rat isn't. A ring rat goes to a wrestling show solely to hook up with a wrestler. They're not interested in getting in the business. They're not interested in wrestling. They're not interested in any of that. The only thing that interests them is hooking up with wrestlers. That is what a ring rat is.
Right.
A wrestling trainee who's hooking up with other wrestlers, or another wrestler that's hooking up with other wrestlers, that is not necessarily a ring rat. Now, if Sarah is just sleeping around to get with wrestlers or whatever, then yeah, that's what she's doing. She's being a ring rat. But if she's, you know, just hanging out with people or hooking up with people, and she's training to be a wrestler and she's pursuing it and they're pursuing it, that doesn't make her a ring rat. I mean, if you're going to drop that term, then you need to also talk about Chelsea and Tanner in that same regard.
Right.
Just pointing that out, because those two were actually semi-hooking up. So it's like, but yeah, dropping that term and, you know, calling her that, it's like basically she's trying to call her a slut. That's what she's trying to call her, but, you know, it's like that's not the exact term that, you know, you use. Okay. Because that's really not what ring rat is.
Okay, here's the thing. So what if she's a slut? So what? What does that gain for you, Amanda, calling her a slut?
Well, it tarnishes her image. It makes Amanda look so much better. Amanda at this point is trying to win. Amanda's doing kind of what Tanner and Josh are trying to do to ZZ. It's Amanda knows Sarah Lee is the heavy favorite to win on the girl's side. So she's trying to do whatever she can to get votes. And by calling Sarah Lee essentially a slut, and that she's sleeping around and she's doing all these other things that, you know, we're not seeing, that tarnishes her image a little bit, and in at least Amanda's mind helps her, you know? So it's like, I can see why she did it. I don't respect it. Cause it's like, if you're going to go after her for something, go after her for something from the show. Don't call her a ring rat. Don't call her a slut. Don't call her, you know, anything else. Cause she's not doing the same thing to you. And for all I know, you're doing the same thing.
With that said, next week's the finals. Who you got?
Oh, Josh and Sarah Lee, all the way. I love ZZ. I think ZZ's great, but we all saw how the voting went this go-round. Josh was favored to win, and Vince wants him to win. One way or another, I have a really, really, really strong feeling Josh will win, and so will Sarah Lee. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going with Josh and Sarah Lee. Yeah, they're the two favorites. Josh is clearly better than ZZ. And Sarah Lee, I don't know, I dig her a little bit.
I think if you could get Sarah Lee to relax, she would be better. Because the thing is like, we saw her stand up to Paige. We saw her cut the promo against Paige, and she did a really good job with it. And it's something of, if you can get her to flip the switch, she's really, really good. It's just getting her to flip the switch. Amanda is there, one, by sheer dumb luck. And honestly, she just doesn't do anything for me. It's like, Sarah's at least a little different. She's a little bit edgier. in her look, Amanda, it's like she honestly reminds me of Dana Brooke. I look at her and I see Dana Brooke.
Yeah, I'm with you.
With a nicer voice. So it's like, and as much as I want ZZ to win, because ZZ to me is unique and Josh is kind of just average, I know who's going to win. It's going to be Josh.
Well, in the first of many attempts tonight, because we're going to be playing with the Magic 8-Ball all night long, the Magic 8-Ball has Amanda and ZZ winning.
Wouldn't that be the upset?
That would be the upset, so.
But we should note that the final episode is where they're going to wrestle, and they are bringing in Cesaro and Alicia Fox.
Which should be interesting, to say the very least.
Oh, yes. So we'll have to see how that goes. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening.
That sounds good to me.
All right. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all things SummerSlam. We're going to break down the show. We'll give you our predictions. We're going to preview it. All that good, fun, happy stuff. We've got Tweet of the Week. And later on, we're going to be talking NXT and NXT TakeOver. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
That's right,
how
the show was just recently.
It was this past Sunday, I say. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute, I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree.
Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick.
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I seen him too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see if I've seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good. I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god!
Get out! I believe you changed to Cancer Rock.
Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
I'm coming. Just like. Bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Just to give you an update on the football game, because yes, it is still going on with 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. The Bills have tied it up and gone for two extra points, leading 11-10 over the Browns. So it looks like Rex Ryan is going to score a victory in preseason over Johnny Football. And now...
I had nothing.
You had nothing?
I had nothing.
You had nothing. Okay, well, I know you have something for this, so Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Rex, you can't drop that word on television.
Just saying.
Don't drop F-bombs. It's only preseason. And with that, Adam Copeland. Or actually, I should say Stephen Amell. Hey, Edge Rated R, I hope you don't mind, but I borrowed your move. To which he replied, you did it proud. Your version is the arrow, follow that with a red arrow, and I smell victory. And victory smells vaguely like Sasquatch tears and ambrosia. Sounds odd, but trust me, it's sweet. Stephen Amell, just hit 1 million Twitter followers. Big thanks to Stardust's face. Somebody asked Kofi Kingston, what does the bird mean on your t-shirt? To which he replied, it's a rising phoenix, a symbol of rebirth. Through the power of positivity, we are reborn. You can be too. To which Beth Phoenix replied, sir. Kofi Kingston responds with, we are taking applicants for female members. Then Edge replies, sir. Beth Phoenix replies, I can smile, sing, and throw a mean dropkick. It's a low dropkick, but pretty mean. Kofi Kingston responds to Edge by saying, I'm afraid that even the power of positivity cannot save you, for savagery is embedded intertwined with your very soul. Kofi Kingston then responds to Beth Phoenix by going, true, true. How is your clapping these days? I know you didn't take me seriously when I would tell you to save your hands. And somebody replies, if Beth Phoenix is a little rusty, we can help with that. And she goes, nam. And she then goes, I pace myself with clapping, leave them wanting more, work smarter, not harder. And lastly, Stephen Amell, hey, Wade Barrett and Stardust, saw you jump Adrian Neville. You seem like two dudes who probably travel with their own pillows. Stephen Amell, talking trash on Twitter, is amazing.
You stole my tweet.
I probably stole a lot of your tweets.
No, you just stole the one.
Which one was the one?
The pillow one.
Oh, sorry. Not sorry.
I know. Is that it?
That's it. That's all I got. All
right, Robert Flores, quote unquote, full Nelson, hashtag nailed it, hashtag Eagles. Not SportsCenter breaking, the Redskins have placed RG3 on the IR with a broken brain after he said he was the best QB in the NFL. Yeah, he's not. With all the talk about, you know, a certain somebody from The Daily Show coming to host SummerSlam, three-man booth goes, WWE got Craig Kilborn? Sasha Banks, I always smile like a little kid when Steph McMahon says my name, hashtag Raw, hashtag Divas Revolution. Kyle Edwards, there is also a Kyle Edwards statue in the WWE front office lobby. Dot, 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 dot. Fine. I just stand still there for a few hours. Hashtag Raw. Oh, Arda. Oh, Arda.
Bless him.
Three-man booth. The color of Luke Harper's elbow pad matches the color of his tank top, which is kind of impressive, actually. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is, even though he does wash it.
Supposedly. Kyle Lewis, keep it 5-star. Lana, Doff is back. Doff, I just flew into Minnesota, and my arms are... Lana, just shut up and kick him. Hashtag
yeah,
Raw.
Pretty much.
Katie Lindendahl, Rusev, equal, crushed. Hashtag Raw. Yep. And Roflo, Robert Flores. I'm definitely going to ask Brock Lesnar if I can do my finisher on him tomorrow. The headlock. Hashtag Raw. That's Tweet of the Week.
All right. Well, now we got SummerSlam we need to get into.
But before we do, we got to mention something.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. The one news item, the biggest story of the week we held for this because, well, it's relevant to this.
No, that's not even what I was talking about.
Oh. Damn it.
But you can talk about that first. Then we'll tell what I was thinking.
Okay. Jon Stewart is hosting SummerSlam, y'all. This is going to be awesome. If I don't get Stewart and Rollins interacting in some form, I'll be very disappointed.
Yes. That would be awesome. No, it's awesome that Jon Stewart is hosting SummerSlam.
It is. Like that they got him like right after he's finishing up with The Daily Show.
It's perfect.
It's awesome. Can they keep him?
They could.
Stewart for GM. Hashtag Stewart for GM. Tweet it out, y'all. Let's get him hired.
There you go.
So what were you thinking?
Well, we're doing preview and pick'em, which means we gotta tell them something.
How
they can win the new autobiography from Daniel Bryan. Yes, my improbable journey to the main event of WrestleMania. And all you gotta do is pick SummerSlam correctly. Simple? Easy? I thought so. We give things away. Easy. But as we're about to preview, it's not so easy for us. Maybe it'll be easy for you. Now, what you gotta do is you gotta submit your picks for the SummerSlam event, and you can win the copy of the book. If you live in North America, you'll actually get a physical copy. Not, it'll be a digital.
Yes. Because, we can't ship international.
I'm cheap.
And he's got the book.
And I have the book. It's in my desk. Okay, ways to win. Ways to submit your picks. Go to our Facebook group. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. There's a post. You can post there. There's a post on Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/RockRadioShow. You can post your picks there. You can post your picks via Twitter at WildTalkRadio or at RockRadioShow. You can do it the old-fashioned way. You can email them to media@WildTalkRadio.com. You have until about 4 p.m. We'll go 4 p.m. on Sunday to officially enter this contest. Now, as we go through it, you have to get all the matches. You know, whoever gets the most amount of matches correct wins. If there's a tie, well, we have two tiebreakers. And you gotta listen as we do this program tonight for the tiebreaking questions, or you can go to wildtalkradio.com, get them, and submit them as well. So that's how you do it. Simple and easy. You will get a book. That's it. Easy.
And it's a good book.
It's a great read. I read it. It's awesome. You can win a copy of Daniel Bryan's new book for SummerSlam Pick'em. Simple, easy, to the point. Everyone should enter. Tell your friends. Come to wildtalkradio.com. We can give away some stuff. Because that's how we roll.
That is how we roll. And Kane Kittens, I'm being very, very, very good right now in response to your Facebook post that you just sent me. Happy belated birthday, by the way, but really you shouldn't mention Blow and Saturday Nights in the same sentence around me because, well, bad things could happen.
Yeah, dude. I like how he's responding to his birthday things days later.
He's been busy. He's been working.
Yeah, he has.
Apparently he's going to be blowing his cake Saturday night. It slipped. I tried so hard to hold it in, but it just slipped.
He really likes his candle.
He really likes his candle. Wonder if it's shaped like Christian. Ooh, Eva!
Now let's stick with Christian.
Let's stick with Christian? Okay.
It's a holy occasion. It's his birthday.
It is his birthday. Should we get him some holy water? Or some holy water?
Yes, we should.
Totally going to get you some holy water.
Oh, lordy. Alright, so as we've tangented long.
Is he listening right now?
I don't know. If he is.
Brent, if you are listening, yell at us in the chat.
I don't think he's in the chat room. He may be listening somewhere else.
Damn it.
Because he's working. Anyway, back to SummerSlam, because we got to get to this. Because we've got a lot to get into about SummerSlam. All right.
We do.
Take a deep breath. Focus.
Focus.
That's centering.
Center the brain. Focus the brain.
Magic 8-Ball, we are going to kick your ass. Probably not. Alright.
It's really sad the Magic 8-Ball does better than us.
Yeah. Magic 8-Ball's gonna win this book.
Yeah, cause we don't have a clue.
Alright.
So, where do you wanna start?
Let's start with, So, you see how it's written on the thingy?
Mm-hmm.
Start from the bottom up.
Alright, so Stardust and King Barrett taking on Neville and Stephen Amell.
There are 10 matches on this show, Lindsay, right?
Right.
9 of the matches, I have no clue. This match, I have a clue.
Yeah, this match is a little blatantly obvious.
If Stephen Amell does not win this match, then there's something wrong with the universe. Just saying.
Yeah, I fully expect Stephen Amell and Neville to win. Fully expect it, because it doesn't make sense to have Stephen Amell lose.
No, it doesn't. Especially if he's going to become the next WWE champion.
He's not going to become the next WWE champion.
Hey, I can dream, can I?
Shenanigans. Shenanigans abound. He wants to David Arquette Stephen Amell.
No, I want him to actually earn the belt. David Arquette just walked into it.
Right.
Win the Rumble, win WrestleMania, then get his ass kicked by Sheamus. It's the perfect win-win-win. Anyway.
I think we're both going Stephen Amell and Neville on this. Pretty academic.
That said, they've done a great job building this. The confrontation on Monday Night Raw a couple weeks ago was excellent.
Oh, this has been top notch. I like how Neville and Stardust and Barrett have been selling this without Amell there. Amell has been pushing it really hard on Twitter. He's been talking smack. It's been amazing. Like, this is, if you're gonna have a celebrity guest, I wish they were all like Stephen Amell, because honestly, he's done a really bang up job. You can tell he's a huge fan of the product. He really wants to be there. He really wants to be involved with this. He really wants to do this. And when you get the celebrities that are huge fans like this, it's so much better.
Oh, it is. It really, really is. Even the Cosmic King, Wade Barrett, is pretty good too. I'm actually enjoying Stardust and King Barrett together.
They are a weirdly good tag team together.
They have great chemistry. It was shown on JBL and Cole Show and being shown here now. This will be an underrated match. I don't expect it to go long, But I think we're going to get to have some fun entertainment. Stephen Amell probably pinned King Barrett, I would assume, in this one.
Stardust. You pinned Stardust.
Say Stardust. Yeah, okay. We'll go with that. So we're both going with Team Amell. The Magic 8 Ball says don't count on it, though. He's going with Stardust and King Barrett. And this leads us to tiebreaker number one. Will Stephen Amell be dressed as the Green Arrow?
I think he comes out in the jacket. Yeah. I don't think they'll let him wear the costume for liability and copyright purposes, but I think he'll wear like something similar to what Arrow wears on the show.
It'll be similar, but he won't. Here's the thing. I think they're going to call him the Green Arrow no matter what he's wearing. So I'm going to say yes, he's dressed as the Green Arrow. You say no?
I say he'll wear at least the coat.
Oh, this is a yes or no question. Yes or no?
No. Not fully.
Not fully. All right, Kinkins, write these down somehow. Figure out our logic. Anyway.
It's my show. I can make the rules as I go.
I understand.
All right. So moving on, we have the WWE Tag Team Championship Fatal 4-Way Match. The Primetime Players taking on the New Day, taking on the Los Matadores, taking on the Lucha Dragons. With the Primetime Players being the champions.
Primetime Players are the champions. And you have the New Day. Going into Monday Night Raw, I had the theory of who's going to win. Then Monday Night Raw happened, and I'm like, I don't think they're winning now. I had the Lucha Dragons winning this match. Just for something different. I can't pick the Lucha Dragons after they won on Raw. I can't honestly pick the Matadors. I don't want Primetime Players to retain. I guess that means the New Day wins, but they've been on such an awful, awful... They haven't booked them well, even though what they did tonight on SmackDown was interesting, with Big E squashing the bill.
Right.
None of these teams... The only team that seems on a roll are Primetime Players, but they don't wrestle that much, so it doesn't really make them on a roll. I guess... I don't know. Who you got? I'm flip-flopping in my head.
I say Primetime Players retain... For right now, we've got, I think, a little bit of breathing room between here and Mexico, and I don't think they're ready to take the belts off of Primetime Players. I don't think they should go back on New Day just yet. I think it does them absolutely no harm to stay on Primetime Players, so for right now, I say Primetime Players keep them.
Screw it. I'm going with my original thought. Lucha Dragons win. I don't want to pick the New Day or the Primetime Players. I can't. My brain doesn't want me to pick it. I can't do it. I really can't. So I'm going Lucha Dragon. This leads to tiebreaker number two. What team will take the pin in the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Title Match?
Matadors.
New Day. Hey, we're being different.
We are. We're descending. So all right. In what should hopefully be
Hold on. Primetime Players retain according to the Magic 8 Ball.
Oh, sorry. So see, it agrees with me. It likes me better because I'm the favorite.
Hashtag favorite.
So anyway, what will be a good, great match, at least I hope it will be, is the three-team elimination match between Team Bad, Sasha Banks, Naomi, and Tamina, taking on Team Bella, the Bella Twins, and Alicia Fox, and Team PCB, Paige, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch. So what team stands tall at the end?
They've done a great job building to this.
Oh, this has been fantastic.
They've done a really good job with all three teams. I hate the team PCB, but I love the three people on that team. Becky Lynch is amazing. Charlotte is awesome. And Paige is just Paige. She's great. Then
they have such wonderful chemistry together.
They do. You got Sasha Banks owning it every single time she's in a WWE ring, leading Team Bad. She's just owning it. Naomi is great. Tamina is Tamina. Then you got the Bellas, and Alicia Fox, and the Bella Twins. They've done a great job. This one's hard to pick because if you go with Team Bella, nothing changes.
Is it wrong I just want all three to win?
No, because there isn't a bad answer in this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I seriously am so excited for this match. I'm so excited for this feud because for me, it's like to have the girls being featured in such a wonderful manner where they're being respected and they're being portrayed as badasses and they're just out there to prove themselves and to prove that the Divas division is serious and they're making this change and the company is throwing their weight behind this is so epic. I mean, Monday night, Nikki Bella and Sasha Banks main evented Raw. When was the last time the Divas main evented Raw. Steph and Brie, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they were the technical main event then. But for the wrestling aspect, yeah. There's been a couple times where they've been in the main event position, but it wasn't important. This one was important.
Yeah, this matters, and it's such a cool thing, and I love it, and I can't wait for more. Honestly?
It's hard. It's really hard, because you want to see Sasha do really good. You want her to have a good weekend. We're going to talk about what she's doing at TakeOver in our next segment. You want her to have a good weekend. You want her to be the boss and prove herself. You want to see Charlotte and Becky Lynch shine. And you want to see, honestly, you want to see Nikki be the dominant champion. There is so much at stake in this match. And I know there are a lot of people who are just don't agree with this and are against it, think this will just be a regular typical match and nothing doesn't matter. But it does.
It does matter. It matters a lot, especially to a lot of women out there. This matters because this is representation for us, and it's important for us because for the first time in a really, really long time, the girls aren't just tits and ass. They aren't there to compliment a guy. They aren't there to take their clothes off. They aren't there to wrestle in or mock wrestle in pudding. They're serious contenders. They're going out there and they're making each other tap out. They're beating each other up. They're being dominant. They're being everything that they should be, and they're being an inspiration to the not only the little girls that watch the show, but grown women as well. They're being role models, which is what they really should have been all along. And again, the fact that the company is letting this happen is awesome.
You look at usually when there's a Divas match on a show like this, on a big WrestleMania-ish show, they try to get all the Divas in, they try to fit them all in, right?
Right.
So they're always usually, it's a battle royal, or it's a lumberjill match. This is 9 women ready to compete in an elimination match. Once one member of your team gets eliminated, your entire team's gone. But it's an elimination match, they're gonna give this time, every girl's gonna have a spotlight in this match. Looking at it, to break it down, Tamina's a weak link, so is Alicia Fox. They're the weak links out of the bunch. They're the weak links.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, just even though it hurts me to say it, Becky.
If you had to pick one for the other team, yeah.
Yeah. If you had to pick one off of PCB, it's Becky.
But I don't consider her.
Not by much.
Not by much. See, you're just, I was trying to eliminate factors. I'm trying to make a pick. I don't know who to pick. I really don't. This one is really, really tough. She'll let you know. Team Bad wins, according to the Magic 8-Ball. I want to see Sasha do it. I really do. I'm digging Sasha Banks really, really hard. I see greatness in her. I really, truly do. I see greatness.
Oh, Sasha's going to be something.
Every time, the presence she has in this ring is awesome.
The thing with Sasha is she walks out there, and she walks out there like she's been there for 10 years. Like, this, it's basically, this is my ring.
Mm-hmm.
My show, my time, get out of my way. And I love that about her, that it's like she just has this confidence that's just effortless. And it's fantastic. You said that basically if one person gets eliminated, the whole team's gone?
Yes.
Okay, that changes things.
It's hard.
I was going to pick the Bellas.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they figure out a way to cheat to win. Because I can see where they're going for Night of Champions. They're going to do Sasha and Charlotte versus Nikki, probably, for the title.
So you got to set it up here.
Let's see. Bella's won on SmackDown.
And everyone else has tried to win since before that.
Sasha won on Raw. Becky won
on
Raw.
So you're all even.
So who did the Bellas pin? Who got pinned tonight?
Becky.
Becky? Team Bad wins. No. Honestly, you know what? I'm going with my gut. Bellas win. I say the Bellas cheat to win. And that they start to set up the match for Night of Champions.
So who does the Bellas beat? Does Naomi take the pin?
I don't want Naomi to take the pin. I say Paige takes the pin.
So Team Bad gets eliminated first. Huh.
Because the way I can see it, whoever gets eliminated, because here's the thing, if Team Bad gets eliminated first, or the Bellas get eliminated first, and they cost the other person, or the other team, the match. Because it's like, who's the face in this? There really isn't one.
PCB are the faces.
Technically. So I can see, honestly, shit, I don't know. I'm rethinking it all because it's like I can see the Bellas getting eliminated. It comes down to Bad and PCB. Because
that's what I wanted to come down to is Charlotte versus Sasha. That's my dream right there.
Oh God, that'd be so good. But I can see it coming down to Bad and PCB, and the Bellas cost PCB. Sure. The match, because I can see Team Bad being pissed that the Bellas cost the match.
So who are you going with?
You know what, Team Bad. that's who I want to win. Mm-hmm. Is Team Bad. I want them to win because I want them to shine, and I feel like they should. I really, really do. I want Naomi to shine. I want Sasha to shine. I want Tamina to shine. I want them to kick ass. I want them all to, but I especially want Team Bad to, because I feel like they haven't had as many opportunities, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a hunch, which we'll get into later, that Sasha's going to need to recover a little bit, and a win on SummerSlam would help her do that.
Team Bad takes the first, is eliminated first when Tamina gets pinned. Don't know by who. I would say by Nikki, with her forearm gimmick. Charlotte pins Nikki after Alicia Fox screws up. Team PCB win. We'll go with that. I want Team Bad too. I'm going by Team Bad has the weakest pairing of the three. So they gotta go first, even though Sasha outshines them all.
I think Sasha will go out there and own it.
She's gonna own it, but I think her partners are the weakest of the bunch, and that's why her team gets eliminated first and she'll leave pissed. And Monday Night Raw, she'll be ready and to go. But I'm going Team PCB. With Charlotte taking the win for the team. Because that's the only thing that makes sense. Paige winning does nothing because we're right back where we were.
Bella's winning does nothing.
Bella's winning really does nothing. I'll be okay with Becky picking the win, but I think it's Charlotte and Sasha against Nikki. And Sasha's going to really shine in this match. She'll own it, but I say Charlotte. She's the babe. If we're going babyface, yeah, Charlotte, take it. Yeah, just move on because I'm going to think over a guess.
Yeah, we're not going to overthink this. We're going to move on. So he picks PCB, I pick Bad, and the 8-Ball picks Bad, just to recap that.
So King Kitten understands what we're picking.
Yeah, so King Kitten hears it. There are the picks. So up next, we have Zigglypuff, Dolph Ziggler, and his roots taking on Rusev.
I hate you so much. It makes sense for Ziggler to win, right?
Yes.
But will he?
Yes. I say he does, because they put an end to this goddamn feud once and for all.
It's not the end of the feud.
I want it to be the end of the feud.
No, because it's going to build to a mixed tag. It's going to build to the mixed tag with Lana and Ziggler taking on Summer and Rusev probably next pay-per-view, and that's the blow-off.
No, I just want Lana and Summer. Screw the guys. I just want Lana and Summer.
I'm okay with that. All right. Will Dolph Ziggler win at SummerSlam? 8-Ball says no. I say yes, because...
He's just coming back. He needs a win.
So yeah, we'll go with Ziggler. This one was quicker because we gotta get to other bigger matches.
Yeah. And for potential show stealer of the night, Kevin Owens taking on Cesaro.
Oh man. We're gonna talk more about Kevin Owens, a little bit during TakeOver preview. Just coming up, by the way. There's a lot of logic and we'll tell it more later. Owens gotta win because he needs a win more than Cesaro needs to win, because I would love to see Cesaro get elevated and be the baby face that instead of Cena in the positions. But I see Kevin Owens getting the win and Cesaro sliding back down a little bit. I gotta even win heels and faces out. I gotta go with Kevin.
Yeah, it's something of, and we'll get into it a little bit later based on what I'm gonna pick for NXT. I say Owens picks up the victory here. He needs a strong win. He hasn't been as strong lately. They've had him be run Owens run. He needs to prove that he's still a badass, and he'll do that against Cesaro. That being said, I don't think Cesaro will be hurt as much as you think he will be, because these two will put on a hell of a show.
No, I don't expect them to be hurt, but I think a win would have got him closer to being number one contender. The loss takes him down another one step that he has to earn back up.
Which he'll earn relatively quickly.
Probably. The 8-Ball says Kevin Owens wins.
The 8-Ball's agreeing with me because it likes me. So it's either really, really right or it's really, really wrong.
I agree with me this time, but I agreed with you, so, you know. Anyway, next match.
Anyway, next match, the person that it always comes down to in Pick'em. Thank you very much, Randy, for the win last month. Randy Orton taking on Sheamus.
I broke her. Just saying. She breaks me, I broke her.
Break me? I was just having fun screwing with you. Because, you know, I won. One match, and it came down to Randy Orton.
Yeah, it always comes down to Randy Orton. It can come down to this, because we're going to... Sheamus needs it, because he would have won last month. Sheamus gets to win here. It's the way they book. Can we end this damn feud between these two? Please, 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 please.
No, because I think they're going to go one more time. So yeah, I would say Sheamus wins as well. It makes sense too, but it's Randy.
Randy Orton on a pay-per-view. Vince McMahon likes Randy Orton. Triple H likes Randy Orton, but he also likes Sheamus. Going Sheamus. 8-Ball says, yes, definitely Sheamus.
Then we're all going Sheamus.
We're all going to be wrong.
Probably. And in the match that I'm most looking forward to, Wyatt family.
One of the matches.
Yes, one of the matches. Actually, this one more than the other one. The Wyatt family taking on Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, and there's been a lot of speculation about this match.
Alright, so this match, this whole feud, has been pretty solid. People were worried, and rightfully so, they've been worried. They've done a good, solid job of building to this match, tying everyone together, building relationships. Because let's think about it. Last month, it was just Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns. Neither guy was attached to somebody. We knew the association between Roman and Dean. It's always there. They're buddy-buddy. But since that point, they have grown stronger and stronger as a unit, which has been great. But at Battleground, we saw Luke Harper, the prodigal son, return to his family, to his father, Bray Wyatt. And now we've fully entwined them back together. They've once again built the Wyatt family together as a family. Strong family ties. This is why it's family versus family.
Minus the ginger,
but they've been replacing him with Sheamus.
Not the same.
It's not the same, but it's gotten him through for a couple of weeks.
It has, yes.
That being said, they've done a great job, and they're building tension between both sides. You've had Bray screwing with Dean and Roman. You've had Dean screwing with Bray on Monday Night Raw. You've had, Roman called Dean crazy at times. And we've talked about it for the last couple of weeks on the show where there's tension there. There's something's going to happen at some point, whether they've got sort of backed off of tension a little bit in the last week because there's probably something coming at SummerSlam or at some point down the line. You know everyone's being too nicey-nicey, which always leads to something.
Well, it's something that it's what has not been done on TV that's interesting. You've seen a lot of Dean and Roman proclaiming we are family, we are brothers, we're tight, we're this, we're that. You don't see Bray and Luke proclaiming that as much. You had Luke sort of get re-inducted into the family where he basically swears his, blood allegiance to Bray Wyatt and that kind of thing. But beyond that, Luke and Bray have not had to make a lot of claims that they're family.
Because they just are. They don't have to go out there and show their relationship. They are a family. And
yeah, they are tight. And so, that's one way that Dean and Roman are kind of a little insecure is it's like, if you have to proclaim it, if you have to prove it, then it's not there.
Right.
Then that's not saying that Dean and Roman aren't close, that Dean and Roman are brothers, but Roman gave a very interesting interview, or Dean and Roman, because they're both there, where Roman did not speak as highly of Dean as he has in the past. He was sort of kind of meh about the whole thing, but it's what Roman said towards the end of the interview in terms of, well, what are the plans regarding the Wyatts? Is this over after SummerSlam, which is never over with the Wyatts? These four, at least, are going to feud probably the rest of their careers together. They will go back to this many more times, which Dean and Roman both acknowledge, but Roman's preference would be to wrap this up with Bray and go back in the title picture. as opposed to Dean, who is happy to stay feuding with the Wyatts. So it's almost like would Roman be willing to sacrifice Dean to get away from Bray to go for the title? Because that's where Roman's focus is right now. He wants to go back to feuding for Rollins' belt. That's where he wants to be right now. He didn't want to be dealing with Bray Wyatt. So it's something of, well, if I can pass Bray Wyatt on to Dean and let Dean take care of Wyatt, I can go do what I want to do. And while Dean is Dean, he'll be fine. Because he's damn near indestructible.
Correct.
But there's really no regard, at least on Roman's side, for Dean Ambrose's long-term goals, if he has any.
This is very true. And it leads to, does Dean realize how Roman puts things and what Roman wants to do down the line? And is Dean Ambrose okay with it? Because if your career is based on when being successful, how much satisfaction could you take in your buddy doing something before you?
Well, here's the thing. Roman got the title shot before Dean did.
Yes.
Roman has kind of been given everything, where Dean has had to fight and scratch and claw to get where he is. So they've walked two very different paths. And that's not to say that that's going to play a factor, but Dean has watched Roman get handed chance after chance after chance after chance, only to fail. While Dean has had to fight for every chance he's gotten at Seth Rollins, and he almost got screwed. And Roman helped him out there, but every other time it seemed that Roman was missing in action, whereas when Roman was going for things, Dean was right there. And it seems that Roman only goes to Dean when he needs Dean. You don't see them together. You don't see them mentioning each other. Obviously, when they're on their own, Roman is focused on other things.
Right.
You know, when Dean goes crazy and he loses his mind, Roman's nowhere to be found. But when Roman gets attacked, Dean is right there.
Correct.
So, and this is generalizing. There are obviously situations where they've both been there for each other. I'm not trying to say that they haven't, but is Roman going to do the same thing to Dean that Seth did? Could Roman sell out? Or could Dean realize what's going on? Because, you know, like I said, or like you said, he's called him crazy. He's kind of referred down to him. He's kind of talked down to him a little bit. You can see that Roman does not necessarily hold Dean in the same regard that Dean holds Roman.
Right.
And obviously that's going to get to Dean. And, you know, even to a certain extent, Roman doesn't hold Dean in the same regard that Bray Wyatt holds Dean. Like, Bray Wyatt sees Dean Ambrose as an equal.
Yeah.
Which who can you say about that about on the roster? Not a lot of people. Whereas Roman, he doesn't. So it's like, could that also play a factor in the whole thing? I'm not saying that they're going to split.
But again,
but this is going to start to build tension.
And it'll eventually lead to a breaking point.
Yeah, because at this, you know, in terms of their careers, you need to break Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns apart. The friendship is cute. The friendship is awesome. There's nothing wrong with the friendship, but Roman needs to go do his thing. Dean needs to go do his, and they need to be separate. And there's nothing wrong with the two having tension and breaking apart, because that's what friends and family do, is you have tension, you argue with each other, you fight with each other, and then you make up and you move forward.
The man brings up an interesting thing. The crowd. How will the crowd react to Roman? It's New York. It's going to be a hot crowd. Huh. I didn't even think about that for a while.
He'll probably get booed.
Well, he might get booed out of the building. Which would be very, very interesting. The crowds this weekend are going to be amazing. We'll talk about it later. All right. So, all that said, who's winning?
Wyatt's.
Magic 8 Ball says, will the Wyatts win in SummerSlam? Very doubtful. I'm looking forward to this match. I'm looking for this entire show. Most of it. This one's going to be interesting.
This will be a great match, whoever wins, because they're going to go out there and they're going to give it their all. And anytime these four go, it's always fantastic. But yeah, I would say it's going to come down to Dean does something that costs them the match. It's going to come down to Dean doing something. And that's what ends up costing them.
I'm with you.
And the saga with Bray continues, because now they have to go against Bray again. And ultimately, this could lead to some kind of Survivor Series match between the group, where at that point, hopefully, Eric Rowan will come back. And then Dean and Roman have to find a third. Or they locate a third Wyatt. Because the other side of this is, on Monday, when they lost, Bray was far too calm.
Far too calm, yes.
where he was almost completely fine with the fact that Luke lost, which means Bray Wyatt has something up his sleeve. He's got a plan.
And what that plan is, time will only tell.
A ginger.
Alright, next.
Next, we have champion versus champion, John Cena.
You're missing the match on the card.
No, I'm not.
We have to pick this. Let's pick it so we can get through it first, and then we'll get to champion versus champion.
I don't wanna.
Yes, you have to. Since she doesn't want to say it, I'll say it. WWE Intercontinental Championship match, The Ryback versus The Miz versus The Big Show.
The concession stand wins. Let's move on.
No, you gotta make a pick.
I'm picking the concession stand.
No, you gotta make a pick.
Damn it. Ryback.
We didn't want to see this match last month. We don't want to see it now. I'm going The Miz.
I say it stays on Ryback. There's no reason to take it off of him.
Magic 8-Ball says Big Show.
Why?
Because it said no to the Ryback.
Magic 8-Ball, we have got to talk about your priorities.
This one's going to be short, sweet. Miz wins because he'll take the Intercontinental title to Tough Enough on Tuesday.
I say Ryback retains.
Probably, but I'm going that different. Hurt.
That was painful.
I know. That's why I went with The Miz. I couldn't, the word Ryback couldn't come out of my mouth.
So anyway, champion versus champion. John Cena versus Seth Rollins.
Title unification. Title for title. U.S. title. WWE title.
Is it unification?
It's not unification. It's just title for title. The match they had a few weeks ago where you can't see knee and John Cena didn't see it and got his nose completely broken was a hell of a match these two had.
Oh yeah, it was great. I guarantee you John Cena's not going to be taking any more knees to the face.
I bet you in the first 5 minutes he takes one. I can already see it coming. Just, they're going to sell it. He goes after the nose right away and they're going to have Cena try to overcome his nose. Seriously, that's going to be part of the story match. Watch it.
Oh, God.
That being said, they had a great match five weeks ago, whenever it was, for the U.S. title. Seth Rollins pulled out some unbelievable moves in that match. And he did that on Raw. Imagine what he's going to do in Brooklyn.
Well, Seth Rollins still has a lot to prove as champion, especially now that he's on his own again without J&J, without Kane, without the authority at his back. You know, it's if you want to build Rollins into a credible champion, he has to put on matches like that, and I think he will. That being said, I don't know who to pick.
I really don't know who to pick this one, because if John Cena wins, he's now the 16-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and those 15-time t-shirts become collector's items because now they'll have to say all 16. Seth Rollins winning, he gets a statue, which would be great just to have a statue that gets broken by someone. That would actually be very, very funny. A win for Seth Rollins defines him as champion because he's then beaten John Cena, he's beaten Randy Orton, he's beaten Dean Ambrose, and he's technically beat Brock Lesnar.
Technically.
He's beaten Roman Reigns to win the belt. You would have to find a new contender for Seth Rollins in his WWE Championship title matches, and that would make things interesting. The man brings it up, Triple H will get involved. I am 120% in agreement. Triple H will play a factor in the ending of this match.
Honestly, I can see Hunter either costing Cena or Hunter restarts the match and makes it like no holds barred or no DQ or something like that. And because this will be a dirty finish. Out of every match on this show, this will be a dirty finish. I'm almost sure of it.
There are many things that could happen. You could have someone get disqualified. You could have someone get counted out. You can do the... Oh, before I get there. Going back to Ryback and Big Show Miz for a second. That was the worst smashing through a barricade on SmackDown I've ever seen. Get that out of the way. Now, I had to mention it. I forgot about it. No. Anyway, moving back to this matchup. It's so hard. John Cena winning means it's the fall and John Cena is being pushed to the top, which they need to do. Because, you know, John Cena is the face of the company and he was on hosting the Today Show and all that other fun, happy stuff they like to do with John Cena. I like Seth Rollins as champion.
I almost want to see Rollins as a dual champion. I almost want to see Rollins with both the U.S. title and the WWE championship, because here's the thing. Rollins wins, Sheamus could cash in, Sheamus could take the WWE championship off of Rollins, but he still got the U.S. title. So he's still a champion. He's still beaten John Cena. He's still a credible main eventer. He's just no longer the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And he would also get a rematch against Sheamus, in which he could potentially win the title back.
The other outcome in this match could be one of those double pin situations. Both men's shoulders are down. 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Dual referees. Can't decide. You move on to Night of Champions for the WWE title only. You could do it in that situation.
The thing, though, is you just did that with Ambrose. Like, you just did a dual referee finish with Ambrose.
I know this. I'm just throwing out scenarios. I'm not saying that's going to be one they do. I'm just throwing an outcome that could happen.
You know, honestly, I'm saying screw it. I want Rollins to win, so I say Rollins.
I don't know.
Because it's LOL Cena. That's the thing. If it was anybody else, we would know, but it's Cena. Like, that's the thing. It's really hard because it's like, are they really going to put the title on Cena, or are they going to put the are they going to keep it on Rollins?
I'm going to go what Rob Parks always says. Is this a pay-per-view? Yes. Is John Cena fighting for a championship? Yes.
Yes.
Who always wins? John Cena.
Cena.
I'm going Seth Rollins. So does the Magic 8-Ball, by the way.
So we all three go Seth Rollins. It's all going to come down to Randy Orton.
Just had to throw Rob Parks' name out there for Saturday night's midnight-ish CB radio.
Tune in for their picks, too.
Exactly.
And last...
Oh, my God.
But certainly not least, your main event, the match so big, it's bigger than WrestleMania, the rematch from The Thing, Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker.
They did a good job with the brawl.
Mm-hmm.
It made this match feel very important.
Mm-hmm.
This match is going to have to be a fight. A knockdown, mm-hmm. drag-out fight where both men just barely get back up on their feet at times. They throw everything in the kitchen sink at one another. I wouldn't be surprised last minute John Stewart says, the main event is no holds barred, or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm really surprised a stip has not been put on this match yet.
I'm really surprised, because they need it. Because I don't want a DQ finish. I really, really don't.
This needs to be clean. Whatever the outcome, this needs to be clean.
What they did on Monday put a lot of doubt in my head. It really, really did. Because The Undertaker came out there, kicked him in the nuts, and did what he did at Battleground. So it makes the question, is that the only way The Undertaker can get the advantage on Brock Lesnar?
No, I think there are other ways, but let's be honest, Brock broke The Thing, so he deserves to get kicked in the balls.
So Brock broke The Thing, so Taker's trying to break his?
Yes.
Okay, just making...
That fair is fair.
Fair is fair. One thing for another. This one's hard to pick because there's two sides of it. You can go with The Undertaker and it's a happy ending, but is it really the happy ending? Because will The Undertaker be the babyface or the heel?
The thing for me about it is Taker needs the win. Taker needs to be the one that beats the one in 22-1. He's really the only one that should beat Brock at this point, where Taker gets his revenge. And you have that moment, because in the fans' minds, at least for me, breaking the streak hurt The Undertaker a lot more than I think they thought it would. And the constant reminder of it puts doubt on The Undertaker. It makes you wonder, well, you know, is he really just an old man? And yeah, he went to WrestleMania, and yeah, he faced Bray Wyatt, and yeah, he won. And he did pretty good against Bray Wyatt. But they didn't do anything overly strenuous in that match. Bray took good care of him. And now he's coming for Brock, where it's, okay, I want my revenge for the streak. I want my revenge for you embarrassing me. I want my revenge for you, or at the very least, for breaking the streak and not killing me. It's like, if you're going to break my streak, if you're going to do that, then you better put me down. And the fact of the matter is Brock didn't. Brock didn't put Taker down. Taker got back up. And Taker had to suffer the embarrassment of it. This is purely Taker's vanity. Purely what this is about.
He was not happy with WrestleMania 30. He wants to put on the better outcome.
Yeah. And I think he wants to do the match that they had intended to do from the get-go before the finish got changed.
And
I
And that he got a concussion.
And he got a concussion in the first 5 minutes, which they better not do that again. But realistically, Taker needs the win. The faith in Taker needs to be restored. You know, beating Bray was good, but it wasn't enough. Where it's like, dude, you... Because, I mean, he did. He walked into WrestleMania 30. He got his ass kicked. I mean, just straight up got his ass handed to him on a silver platter. He looked like a weak, pathetic old man. And this is coming from an Undertaker fan. I love the man, but he was weak. He looked pathetic. He looked old. He looked tired. It just was not a good showing for him. And that's what's burned in everybody's minds, is that showing. Because it's like, yeah, he came back. Yeah, he faced Bray. And yeah, he looked good. But you don't forget 30. Because of what happened at 30. It's like you could almost dismiss 30 had the streak not been broken, but because that's still there and because it's a constant reminder by WWE that, oh, hey, Brock is the one that broke the streak, and you see Taker getting F5'd, you see Taker getting his ass kicked. It's that constant reminder of he looked weak and feeble, which is not what you want the Undertaker to be. The Undertaker is such a stalwart, strong figure in the WWE that it's like to see him like that is just disturbing. So honestly, Taker needs to win this. Taker needs to look strong. Vince is booking this. We all know it. It's either Vince or Hunter.
When Monday night went, that was a Vince McMahon booking job.
Yeah.
The pull apart brawl could have been a collaboration effort. That said, I'm gonna throw this back at you. Taker wins. There's nothing left between Brock and Taker. You can't do a third match. If the goal is to do a third match, Brock has to beat The Undertaker.
Realistically, there doesn't need to be a third match.
I'm with you on that. I don't know if we should go to three, but I can see them having the idea of Taker finally getting the win at WrestleMania to end it all, and that would be the end of the line. I would rather see Brock go away, Taker go away, and they come back with something new for each man heading into WrestleMania. What that is, I don't really know at this point.
The thing for me is, it doesn't need to go to three because you've built this up as Taker has never beaten Brock Lesnar, and they've had some epic battles with each other. And every time they have gone against each other, Brock has won. He's been victorious one way or another, and 30 was no exception. So it's like, they're kind of almost doing to Brock what they did with Shawn, where it's like, can the Undertaker beat Brock Lesnar? They're really trying to make Taker the underdog in this situation, but they're also kind of writing him as the heel with him kicking Brock in the junk. So it's like, That being said, my money's still on Taker, especially since Taker is going on the Mexico tour. Yeah, Brock is going to be at Madison Square Garden. Taker's going on tour. You cannot have him go on tour like that and lose.
Could you see these two guys making it to Hell in a Cell in October?
They will not let Taker in Hell in a Cell.
Just asking the question.
If Taker was healthy, yes. You know, honestly, if Taker was not in the shape that we all think he's in, yes. I can see him making it to Hell in a Cell. I don't know if I want to see them in Hell in a Cell, because that's the thing. I don't know if I want to see a third match between these two. It's kind of like, I'd really rather see Taker move on to someone else, because whoever he faces in Dallas, that's going to be his last match. And I can see them using either SummerSlam or the night after or Mexico or even Survivor Series, because it's rumored Taker might show up at Survivor Series, as the way to obviously set up Mania. And whoever is getting Taker's last match, they will start to tease that.
One of the people who entered our contest, Rock, Paper, Scissors, Chick, sent me her picks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She says Sting is going to get involved in this whole situation.
And what, you do Brock Sting?
Taker Sting.
Oh. I love her, but no. Taker Sting.
For WrestleMania.
Taker Sting 10 years ago would have been awesome. Taker Sting now, no.
I just wanted to get her pick out there and, you know, throw her name out there, because she was one of the many people who are entering the contest to win the Daniel Bryan book. Remember?
And she's awesome. Go check out her fan art. It's amazing. She just did a kick-ass portrait of Seth Rollins.
It is amazing.
It is amazing. But the other factor that we're not thinking about and is rumored to show up,
Which I don't want to happen,
is Kane. He's on the mend. He's done filming because obviously Dolph is back. It's been about 6 weeks since his ankle got broken, so it makes sense that he would be on his way back. He could come in and attack Brock for what Brock did to himself.
Mm-hmm. This is very true.
But that could come after the match is over.
It could.
And Kane and Taker beat down Brock and leave Brock laying, and Brock has to be carried out. And that's how you write Brock off TV for a little while so he can go on vacation again until he makes his surprise return at Madison Square Garden whenever that show is.
Right.
But I'm going with my gut. Again, that's like half this pay-per-view. I say Taker wins. Taker wins. Everybody goes home happy-ish. Brock gets beaten down. That's how you write Brock off TV for a little bit. Taker vanishes because that's what Taker does. And they move forward.
Magic 8-Ball says, will the Undertaker beat Brock Lesnar at the SummerSlam? Don't count on it. Don't want to say the words. But I gotta say the words. Brock Lesnar wins at SummerSlam. I want the Undertaker to win. But my gut is telling me Brock Lesnar.
So I guess we'll have to see who's right.
Now, Chase, listen, I've said this a bunch of times on the show, and I'm going to say it one more time. Listen, clearly I'm called talking right to you. Listen to me. If you would like to win a copy of Daniel Bryan's new autobiography, Yes, My Improbable Journey to WrestleMania, to the main event of WrestleMania, you got to enter WTR Pick'em. Everything we just predicted, including the tiebreakers, is how you enter. You can go to the main page of wildtalkradio.com. And you can enter the contest.
Yes.
It gives you all the details. You can either email them, you can Facebook them, you can tweet them. That's how you can get a copy of the book. The person who gets the most correct answers and will win the copy. We got one book to give away to people. That's how you enter the contest. Got it? If you need more details, this goes to everyone. Go to wildtalkradio.com. You can check our social media. It's out on there as well. But wildtalkradio.com is the place to go. It's right on the main page. It tells you how to enter the contest. Got
yes.
it. We're good? I think we're good. We'll see how we did against Magic 8-Ball next week. But we still have a lot more show to go do.
We do. So we're going to take our second and final break of the evening. And when we come back, everybody hang with us because now we have to do TakeOver and NXT. And you don't want to miss that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back. What you like, it's okay. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for?
Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com. For reference, over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And that music means one thing. We are here, folks. We are talking about NXT. We have the show, and we have TakeOver we have to discuss.
We've talked about a lot so far tonight. We've talked SummerSlam. We've talked Tough Enough. We've given our predictions. We've talked about the Diva Revolution at SummerSlam. But on NXT last night, there was another Diva Revolution. Sort of. With two women, one already on the main roster, and the other, who at some point will be on the main roster.
Soon.
And it was the contract signing between Bayley and Sasha Banks. Take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday, NXT takes over Brooklyn, New York. I am now pleased to preside over the official contract signing for the NXT Women's Championship. Firstly, a lady who defeated Emma, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch to become the number one contender, Bayley!
There she is.
And now, the reigning NXT Women's Champion. She is the boss, Sasha Banks. Now, please, Bayley, challenge your signs first. There we go.
First of all, Mr. Regal, I just want to thank you and the NXT fans, because if it wasn't for you guys, I would not even be here. This is the biggest match of my life. I've been in this position before, and I've had this title match, and every time I've let it slip right through my fingers. But not this time, that's right. I can feel it. This time is different. I feel it. And I think all of you can feel it. And Mr. Regal, I think Sasha Banks feels it too.
Now please, if you don't mind, Sasha.
One second, because I have something to say. This is a big moment for you, isn't it? In front of all these fans that love you. I mean, do you not hear them? There's a reason why NXT's at Brooklyn and not here. Because Bayley is going to be the biggest show in NXT history. And the best part about that is that you're going to be in the ring with me. I mean, just look at you. Women's champion. You're scared, Bayley. You're scared. I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. And it's not the fact that you're not good, Bayley Whaley. It's just, how can I put it? Well, you're just not me. You know it, and everybody here knows it. Takeover, Bayley. I'm going to submit my name in history as the greatest NXT Women's Champion this company has ever seen. NXT or WWE, you're going to find out why I am the boss. Sasha, you're leaving. I know how these contract signings work. I've watched a lot of WWE in my past, and you think you're just going to walk out. I saw what you did to Becky Lynch in your guys' contract signing, and you think you could just walk out of mine like it's nothing? I'm ready to fight now. I'm ready. You think I can't beat you, Sasha Banks? I'm ready to fight right now. I'm scared of you. Becky and Charlotte were threats. You're not, sweetheart. Let's face the facts, Bayley. There's a reason that I'm on Raw and SmackDown and you're not. You want to know why? Because you're a loser. You're pathetic. You think you're a role model for all these little girls? Dressed just like you. How sad. Cute, cheering for her. You know what a real role model is, Bayley? Me. Because I'm going to teach every single one of these little girls that fairy tales don't have a happy ending. You're facing the best. You're facing the NXT Women's Champion. And as far as fighting you tonight, guess what? I don't have time for that because you're just not worth it.
Wow. Live on the WWE Network this Saturday, Bayley, Sasha Banks for the NXT Women's Championship at TakeOver. Wait a minute. Here comes Bayley.
Yeah.
She's finally had enough.
There's your threat. How about not taking Bayley serious now, Sasha Banks?
This is a sneak attack. She has her match at TakeOver.
Oh, she had it coming. Sasha had it coming.
Sasha Banks calling Bayley a loser, telling her she's just not good enough.
Bayley's the boss tonight, that's for sure.
This is almost the culmination for Bayley of years here at NXT being told that she's not good enough.
You can't do this, no, not right now.
Oh my God, Bayley. Oh my God.
Bayley went for Sasha's edges, y'all. It was awesome. It was amazing.
Right?
This, Sasha was great. She played it up as the heel. She was perfect. Bayley was great. She was aggressive. You can feel the chemistry between these two.
There's a lot of chemistry between the two. And Sasha interacting with the crowd. Oh, man.
I love when she took the shot. This is why this is going to happen in Brooklyn and not here.
Right?
It's like, oh, Sasha. Oh, Sasha. Bless you for that.
Hey, she just went right for it. Yeah, it was stupendous. The quote was, as you just heard, there's a reason why NXT's at Brooklyn and not here.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Right? It was amazing.
She's playing this up. Absolutely perfectly. I love it. And we'll get to talk about the match here in a bit, but they're making this a hard one to pick.
We'll get to it. We then had Tyler Breeze take on, I think the dude's name was Rising by the look at the back of his trunks.
Spiky McSpikers. That's...
A supermodel kick to Spiky McSpikers. For the win.
I'm sorry, I don't know their names. They get a random nickname because I don't know. I honestly wasn't paying attention. All I know is Tyler came out. He had the cape. He was sporting the cape, y'all. It was very dapper. And he had a Jushin Thunder Liger mask as an accessory. For a second, I thought his mask was like Eric Rowan's mask. He was going to talk to it. But no. The mask went on Spiky McSpikers.
So, which he technically did talk to, as you're about to hear right now.
The great Jushin Thunder Liger. Nice to meet you. I've heard good things, but really I'm not impressed. I did want to tell you, though, how much I'm looking forward to facing you this Saturday. And I think everyone here wants a little preview of what they can expect.
Oh! Beauty shot by Tyler Breeze.
Well, clearly that's not Jushin Thunder Liger, and clearly it's not going to be that easy this Saturday in Brooklyn.
I just love how he uses them. Oh, that's going to be a good match on TakeOver on Saturday.
I like how you have Tyler building it all on his own. And he's doing a really, really, really great job with it. Because this, you know, was obviously just kind of thrown together, last minute sort of thing for him. So I'm really enjoying it. And I can't wait for Saturday.
Yeah, and again, we'll get into this match here in a bit. We had the Hype Bros and Kaz and Enzo Amore taking on four dudes.
Pretty much.
I didn't catch your names. They didn't give a name. The Hype Bros and Kaz and Enzo won with Flying Enzo. We heard from Gable, Jordan, and the other guys. I think it was Dash and Samson.
Maybe.
Because they're the other guys they're going to be facing in an 8-man tag against. They're going to be from Brooklyn next week on NXT besides TakeOver. So listen to what they had to say about the upcoming match.
Guys, we just saw the four NXT superstars you will face next Wednesday on a special episode of NXT all the way from Brooklyn, New York.
I can't wait.
Are you impressed?
Impressed. Are you boys impressed?
Impressed.
Did you just see that?
Yeah.
What would we have to be impressed about? I mean, I guess it is impressive that they just beat four Jamokes they found off the street.
Ooh, that's impressive, right?
Nice word.
That's Devin, impressive. The only thing that impresses us about the Hype Bros is that they're able to even stand after we broke them with the Shatter Machine.
Hey. You know what is impressive? Streak that Gable and I have been on ever since
Decent.
We became a tag team.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's all right.
Don't you say so?
And as far as Cass and Enzo go, it's not going to be quite the homecoming I think they're expecting, because we are going to light them up!
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be so sick.
Fire, dude.
You know why, right? You know why.
Why?
Come on.
Tell us, dude.
Because we're ready. You know it, boys. Say it with me. Come on. We're willing. Come on, guys. Here we go. And?
Let's just say it. Come on.
Gable.
Nice.
That felt nice.
I told you it felt nice. I told you it felt nice.
These are good guys.
They all got in the Gable promo.
They all did get into the Gable promo. I love how they just resigned themselves to the fact of just say the thing.
Just do it.
Just do the thing. Shut him up.
We then had Samoa Joe goes quick and simple with Steve Cutler, making him tap out.
Yes, very quick, very simple, to the point, and well, that's really not what we need to talk about because Baron Corbin turned up.
And they brawled a little bit.
They did brawl a little bit.
And it was a good brawl.
It was a good brawl. I really liked it. I liked how you had Corbin kind of come out and ambush Joe, the two talk smack. Basically, this is the Corbin I've been waiting to see. So it makes me really, really, really happy that he finally showed up.
And he left Joe laying with the End of Days.
He did. So we're going to have to see who gets up from the End of Days.
We had another Bold Dempsey promo. Oh, he's so special.
He's Bullfit. Now he's going to take over NXT.
Next week.
Honestly, if you're going to get people to like Bull Dempsey, this is a good way to do it. I'll admit, he's grown on me. I kind of like Bull now, even though he's still the Wyatt Love child.
I'm with you. He's grown on me. He did nothing for me before, and when he gets in the ring, he probably won't do much for me either. But his promos have been good.
It's honestly a good way to make an underdog for what they're trying to do, because it's hard to make someone like that an underdog, and the fact that, you know, he was out of shape, he was overweight, because it's like you were watching the original promos, it's like, dude, just give Bull the cookie. It would make him so much happier if you just give him the cookie.
He just wants his cookie, man.
He just wants his cookie, and then his chips, and then it's like, okay, so they're kind of doing the out of shape fat thing, and which I wasn't 100% okay with, but they've turned it into a positive where he's going to make himself better, he's going to get in shape, he's going to get Bull fit, and they coined that phrase, and now he's fit, he's ready, he's in shape, and he's gonna come back and he's gonna show what he's learned and what he's done to the NXT universe. And it's a good way to turn him face, it's a good way to try and get him over and really make him more of a sympathetic character, which is what they need.
Yes.
And best of all, you get to see his personality, you know?
Oh yeah, and at least he's showing something.
Right?
We had Blake and Murphy take on Dawkins and Fulton. Fulton and Dawkins tried for the upset, but, well, the tag champs realized, oh, they're really trying hard. We're going to put them out. They put them out. Blake and Murphy win.
With the evil Sparkle Fairy.
With the evil Sparkle Fairy. And that's where it all went down from there, as the Von Villain showed up. Take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we could have your attention for just one moment.
We have an announcement concerning our plan for...
What are you doing?
Madam, you would be wise not to exploit your female privilege and stay down here.
Down this road.
Do not. You don't.
You are not saved by the bells, Miss Bliss. You can't come up here.
You do not get the... Don't you dare.
Not this way, please. We tried to be gentlemen. As we were saying, this Saturday at the Barclays Center, we had...
The evil, evil Sparkle Fairy.
She's so evil. I love it. She's like, yep, I'm just going to slap you repeatedly. Stop, 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 stop.
She's going to get hers. Oh, she's going to get hers.
Yeah, I don't know what Blake and Murphy have up their sleeve, but oh, Alexa, you're going to be in so much trouble.
You mean the vaudevillains?
No, I mean Alexa. The vaudevillains are going to find someone to, you know, take care of Alexa, and she's going to be in trouble.
You said Blake and Murphy.
You know what I mean.
I know. I have to give you crap.
Yeah. Such a jerk.
Speaking of, here's the transition. The jerk of NXT, Kevin Owens.
Cannot wait. We know it's going to be a loud atmosphere. We know it's going to be an electric atmosphere. But we also know it's going to be a volatile environment with a ladder. And those two men, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor.
Saturday night, the biggest takeover special yet takes place in Brooklyn, New York. You know what? Before I go on, I have to address that. Do you know how disgusting that is, by the way, what you just did right now? No. Are you too stupid to realize how hypocritical you are all being? Because week in and week out, I'll come out here and you guys will chant Kevin Owens or Fight Owens Fight. Unless I'm laying a finger on, say, Sami Zayn. Yeah. Then you'll boo. Or if someone even mentions the name John Cena, you boo. But if I talk about beating John Cena, you cheer, which is really ironic because you guys know what you are. You are the John Cena of wrestling fans. Yeah, you think that's funny? I think it's pathetic because nothing genuine comes out of your mouth ever. That's why you all claim to love NXT. You all claim to want everybody in NXT to succeed. But when we talk about NXT selling out a 13,000 seat arena, which by the way, only sold out because I'm in the main event, you boo! You boo! You want NXT to grow! But then you boo! Because it's not yours anymore! Because you're not going to get to see it live! And that's exactly why every time I have to come to Full Sail, I feel sick to my damn stomach. Because I know I'm performing for a bunch of ungrateful, undeserving pieces of trash. But you know what's going to make me feel better? is beating your little flavor of the month, Finn Balor, in front of a crowd that's actually deserving of witnessing the biggest main event in NXT history. And as far as Finn is concerned, Balor, you need to understand something. All Japan was a fluke. You shouldn't have beaten me. It shouldn't have happened. And it's not going to happen again, because that takeover in Brooklyn, the Kevin Owens you faced that night, is of a Kevin Owens you've never encountered before. You think what I've done to Sami Zayn and the others was bad, buddy, you have no idea what's coming. Because I no longer just want the NXT title. I need the NXT title so that I can come back here and shove it in their stupid faces. And I need the NXT title so that I can prove to the world that I am better than you. Finn, a takeover. It's not gonna be walk Owens walk. It's not gonna be lose Owens lose. It's going to be fight Owens fight. It's going to be destroy Owens destroy. It's going to be climb Owens climb. And by the way, when I'm up here, it's not going to be an epic battle with you on the other side and us fighting it out and reaching for the title. Because the fact is, when I'm up here, Finn Balor will be down there, beaten, broken, with a trainer, a doctor, and a stretcher, getting ready to wheel him out of the building as I reach up and reclaim what's always been mine, and that's the NXT title!
Oh my God, it's Finn Balor!
How you go home to a show.
Just having Balor show up out of nowhere.
And he just sits on the top row for a minute.
It's like, oh, Kevin, you're gonna die. Just run.
I loved Kevin Owens trash talking the crowd.
It was great. It was absolutely great. That's how you do that.
He was healing on them about their chanting, and he's right about them.
I just love the repeated shots of the crowd tonight. It was fabulous.
Yeah, because that crowd was upset because they're not getting TakeOver.
And they've been booing it the entire time. They are not happy with NXT, the fact that, hey, they're not going to be there.
Right.
Sorry, guys.
So next week on NXT, because this was a great go-home, by the way, before we get to next week. This was a great...
Oh, yeah, this was a fantastic go-home.
It was simple matches, but it all built to the live special on Saturday. But next week, we're getting an extended edition of NXT.
90 minutes of NXT.
From Brooklyn, which will feature Eva Marie versus Carmella, Bull Dempsey versus Elias Sampson, as Bull makes his return, in a four-way, Charlotte versus Becky Lynch versus Emma versus Dana Brooke, and then an eight-man tag, Zack Ryder and Enzo Mori, Mojo Rawley, and Colin Cassidy take on Jordan, Gable, Dash, and Dawson. So it was Dash and Dawson earlier. All in the Battle for Brooklyn next week on NXT.
I'm just slightly excited for this.
Right?
Just because this is going to be awesome. But you know what else I'm excited for? TakeOver. So can we talk about it now? Please, 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 can we talk about it?
Well, fine. We'll talk about it.
I'm serious. I am super excited for TakeOver. It's going to be epic.
I mean, if you got to twist my arm about it, I guess we supposedly, after all this time, we can talk about it.
Well, I mean, we've talked about SummerSlam. That's going to be awesome. But we have to talk about TakeOver because TakeOver is sold out. 13,000 people are going to be there. Do you know how off the chain that's going to be?
Did you know Hunter didn't want to do it at the Barclays?
Where did he want to do it?
He was trying to find somewhere else to do it. But they figured...
Oh, Hunter.
But no, because realistically, you... There was no precedent for what they were going to do. Cause they were going to curtain off, they curtain off part of the building, and then it just kept selling until it sold out. And like you mentioned, it's off the charts that's 13,000 strong at TakeOver.
Well, it's like we said when we found out that TakeOver was sold out was that they probably figured that what happened in San Francisco, which the NXT house show sold out in a matter of hours, 5,000 tickets sold out. They probably attributed a lot of that to WrestleMania and it being a fluke, so they pretty much did the same thing for SummerSlam, thinking, oh, well, we'll release just 5,000 to 6,000 tickets, we'll cordon off the building, and it'll be fine. And when the first 5,000 to 6,000 did the same thing that San Francisco did, they said, well, we've got a big building. Let's see if we can sell more. So they kept releasing tickets until finally the entire building sold. I mean, that's a testament to the NXT product.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It really, really is.
And people are excited for it. People want to see it. So the fact that they're sold out, the fact that the talent are going to be able to perform in front of a crowd that big is amazing for them. Because that's going to be a hot crowd. At least I hope it is.
I hope we get the NXT crowd of 13,000 people.
Now, obviously, the key trick is, can they do that again if they bring the show back to Brooklyn? But for this first go-around, the fact that it's sold out and the talent will have that experience, you know Hunter's, like, just, like, beaming from ear to ear about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. He did a conference call yesterday. He's jazzed up. He's excited.
As he should be.
Yeah.
I mean, NXT is his baby, so... Anytime NXT succeeds, he succeeds. And it's one of those things where it's kind of almost that I told you so about the product. Where it's like, I knew it was good. I knew we had something, but nobody believed me. Because they've never really put any faith in the developmental product before beyond just getting the talent ready.
Right.
And now it's something where the developmental product is becoming its own brand. It's becoming competition for the main roster. Like the main roster is now being forced to step up because developmental is becoming good enough. It can compete with the main roster.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It really, really is.
Which if that inspires competition between the two brands, honestly, I'm all in for that. Because that forces people to do their best. And as we've all seen, you know, those of us that remember, because there are some of us that don't, that weren't watching then, you know, that when WCW and WWE were at the height of the Monday Night War, they did their absolute best, or worst, to try and outdo each other. And now you're having that same sort of almost feeling between NXT and WWE's main roster, where it's, oh, hey, these are the developmental people. These are the people that are going to come up and replace us. They're already outdoing us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're not even here yet. Oh, crap. I probably need to step up my game. Because there are a lot of people on the main roster that are complacent. They're just kind of phoning it in. And it's like, no, you can't do that because there's your replacement right there. They're ready to go.
Right. For guys like Kevin Owens and Cesaro. I shouldn't say Kevin Owens. For guys like Dolph Ziggler and Rusev, they got to step it up. On Sunday. They really, really do. Everyone on the main roster has to step it up because now the two shows are going back to back.
Yeah.
So if you're a main roster talent, you've been an established main roster talent, and you see what they do on Saturday night and go, we can't let the talk of the weekend be that.
Yeah, think about it. It's like NXT is going first. They are going to be the talk heading into Sunday. So anything that happens on Sunday has to outdo it. And I mean, there are shows on, there's, or I should say shows, there's stuff on SummerSlam that will outdo NXT. Obviously, Taker and Brock is going to be the talk Monday morning.
One way or the other.
Taker and Brock is going to be the talk. But it's like going into SummerSlam, whatever happens on NXT will be the talk going into SummerSlam. And you have people on to both shows. Like Owens is on both shows. Sasha Banks is on both shows.
Yeah.
So it's like whatever they do the night before, they have to then go to SummerSlam and they have to potentially outdo it. So it's like they almost have a double challenge, which is pretty either terrifying or awesome, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, we'll get to their two matches as they're the dual main event, as Hunter's calling it. The dual main event. That's pretty awesome.
For the girls? Yeah, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
So, let's get to it.
Let's get to it. We should note that I believe Apollo Crews will make his debut as well on the show.
Yay, finally. I'm curious to see what he can do.
He so reminds me of Bobby Lashley.
He does in a lot of ways, but I'm, like I said, I'm curious to see what he can do.
I think he's a more athletic Bobby Lashley. We'll see. All right, let's get right into it. Let's start with Tyler Breeze, Prince Pretty Tyler Breeze, as the poster says, taking on Jushin Thunder Liger. Huh. Tyler's been doing good. They built up to this match pretty well, and what they did last night on NXT was pretty good too. What's your take?
This is kind of a throw together at the last minute.
I don't think
Tyler.
I wouldn't call it last minute. They've had this
plan.
Well,
they've had it planned, yeah. I mean, obviously they've had it planned. I'm not trying to insult anybody or infer that, you know, it's, oh, hey, they couldn't find Tyler or anything, so let's get him Jushin Thunder Liger. But to me, it's just like, it's been Tyler. It's kind of that one man show sort of thing.
So he's Bray Wyatt and Liger is The Undertaker?
Basically. Tyler's been off TV a lot. He has not been around. I think his last big match out, he lost.
The last big match he was against Finn Balor at TakeOver, the last TakeOver. And then he's been off and on for a while, and he's been on a bit of a roll beating the guys he's been thrown in the ring against. But the last big match he had, he lost, so they rebuild him. And what I like about what they're doing with Tyler Breeze, because they see something in Tyler Breeze, but they're not ready to go to the next level with him. So every time there's a takeover, they try to put him in a position where he's going to be in a good match. The match with Finn Balor was good. One, because of the epic entrances. Oh god, imagine the entrances in Brooklyn. Oh my god.
They're gonna be huge.
Oh, we'll get to the other entrance. That's going to probably be amazing in Brooklyn later. I like they're making his match special. Like, they brought in someone special for Tyler Breeze. That says something about what they believe in Tyler Breeze. And this is Jushin Thunder Liger's first WWE match ever.
Yeah.
And he's been in the business over 20-something years. That's incredible.
Which makes you kind of go, They're not making this easy to call.
No, since it's like one night only, you would figure Jushin Thunder Liger wins. You would think.
You would think, but at the same time, it's like, I wonder. Are they really going to put Liger over Breeze?
No, because my gut tells me after the Owens and Balor feud's done.
Tyler's getting a shot at Balor.
Tyler gets a shot one-on-one with Balor again. I think that's where they're headed. After Owens, Breeze is the next guy, I think. Because I don't think it's Corbin or Joe yet.
No, it's not Corbin or Joe. They're not quite there with either one of them.
So I'm going Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree on that and go with Breeze as well. It makes sense to go with him.
Right.
Just because he could challenge Balor for the title. It makes sense that he would challenge Balor for the title. So, and he needs that big win to be able to do that. So I can see him... Yeah, I can see that.
The Magic 8-Ball disagrees, though.
Well, we don't like the Magic 8-Ball. It can go away.
It says, my sources say no. So there you go on that.
Nice.
Our next contest is for the NXT Tag Team titles. The Vaude Villains taking on Blake and Murphy with Alexa Bliss. The big thing in this one is, who do the Vaude Villains have? Are they going to bring in a current NXT diva who hasn't debuted yet? Or are they going to pull in a regular surprise element to this?
I think we see a surprise to this that we haven't seen before.
So it's someone new.
It's someone new, I would guess. I would gather. I don't want to say that for sure. But my gut tells me this is going to be somebody we're not expecting. You never know. It could be Lita. She's going to be there.
She is going to be there. I don't think it's going to be Lita.
But it's going to be a one-off. They're not going to put a girl permanently with the Vaudevillains.
Can I call my shot in the dark that has no chance of ever happening, but I just thought of it off the top of my head?
Oh, God, what?
Trish Stratus.
Could be.
I don't see it happening, but if it does, I'm just throwing it out there. The other name that crossed my mind was Beth Phoenix.
No, it wouldn't be Beth.
No, but...
It'd be awesome if it was Beth, but it wouldn't be Beth.
But I have a feeling it's going to be an NXT diva. But if they're building it up as a surprise, you would think we would know who, you know, it would have some name value.
All right. This is where we go.
To WWE.com. But you're not going to... I don't think it's going to show the people we're thinking of on there. Somewhere.
Right, but I need to see who the NXT divas are, because I'm not entirely sure who all the NXT divas are. Okay, so we have the Evil Sparkle Fairy herself.
Uh-huh.
Bayley is in a match. Becky doesn't have a match.
Yes, she does. She's on the thing for next week.
Are they doing that in the same night?
They're taping it right before the hand. Yeah.
Okay, but she doesn't have a match on the pay-per-view.
No, but she's not going to be with the Vaudevillains.
I'm just listing people, okay? Just... Yeah. I'm chill.
Going with you. I'm just gonna
calm yourself down.
I'm just gonna tell them they're wrong. Keep going.
Carmella's busy. Well, she's with Enzo and Cass.
Earlier tonight, yeah.
Charlotte does not have a match on TakeOver.
But she's on. Both of them are in a match together.
Dana Brooke is heel.
Right.
Dasha Fuentes.
The announcer.
Devin Taylor.
Announcer.
Emma's heel. Little Miss all read everything herself, Eva Marie.
How you doing?
JoJo's an announcer. Sasha's busy.
You think?
And Bailey's busy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyone on the NXT roster is not going to be it. So it's going to be someone new or a historical person. Twice said Trish. I don't think it's going to be Trish, but it'd be cool if it was.
I don't think it's going to be Trish. It might be Lita because, again, she's there. It might be somebody from the main roster because everybody's going to be in town. The boys go and find a WWE diva to help them out. Or it could be somebody new. I would like to see it be somebody new just to keep them with the Vaudevillains because I have a feeling that this match is not the last time this group is going to face off against each other, and it would be nice for the Vaudevillains to have someone permanently with them to counteract the Evil Sparkle Fairy.
I would agree. I think that makes the most sense, but it just goes in the back of the head. They could pull out a big surprise.
Oh, they could totally pull out a big surprise, which I would expect that they would, honestly.
Now, going to the match itself...
Going to the match itself, I say the Vaudevillains pull it out.
You think?
I think it's time. You need somebody else to take the belt off of them because you don't have anybody else challenging right now and you can have them chase. But I say the Vaudevillains win. What about you?
The Vaudevillains win. Their title reign's not going to be long, but the Vaudevillains win and they'll lose it about 6 weeks from now back to Blake and Murphy.
Yeah, it's just enough that the Vaudevillains get the best of Blake and Murphy and Bliss because, and they pull out a victory.
Because the surprise is going to play a factor.
Because the surprise will play a factor.
The Magic 8-Ball says, I asked them, will Blake and Murphy retain the tag titles? Most likely. So we're against the Magic 8-Ball a second time.
Shock.
So it's basically the Brain versus the Magic 8-Ball, in at least this pick.
It's always the Brain versus the Magic 8-Ball.
I know, and then there's this one match you always get ahead of me on.
And I always win.
And she just sits there and gloats. Yeah. Anyway, moving along. Samoa Joe, Baron Corbin.
This is a hard one to pick.
The last 2 weeks, they've done a good job building this feud.
They have. That being said...
Like, for Baron Corbin, this is a match he's needed.
I say, well, they've been having Corbin win in squash matches, but he needs a big...
He never wins the big one. He never wins the big one.
Because he lost to Rhino, didn't he?
Did he face Rhino?
Yeah, I thought it was Corbin versus Rhino in like a No Holds Barred.
No, the last big one I remember was Bull Dempsey.
Oh, that's right. It was Bull.
That's why Bull's got to get fit.
Yeah, Bull's got to get fit. Let's see. Joe can't take the loss yet. You know what? Corbin wins every time he's out. I say Joe is the one that kicks out of the end of days. And Joe wins. Like, Joe finally gives Corbin kind of what he's had coming to him. What do you think?
Thinking. Shut up. Shut your face, will you?
Nope.
Dave Ball says, will Samoa Joe beat Baron Corbin? Very doubtful. I'm going Baron Corbin.
You're going Baron Corbin?
Uh-huh.
It just makes sense too.
Samoa Joe will kick out at the end of the day as well. Take a second one to beat him.
Yeah.
Now it takes us to NXT Women's Championship, Bayley and Sasha Banks. Go.
Oh, this is hard to call. This is hard as hell to call. Bayley. It's time for it to come off Sasha. It's time for Sasha to move up to the main roster.
But then there's everything they did afterwards.
I don't put a lot of stock in that.
Yeah, I know, me neither. But then I follow Sasha on Tumblr.
Again, don't put a lot of stock in that.
What, you mean she lies on Tumblr?
She could. It's called a swerve.
Wait, where's Vince Russo?
But no, it's, you don't want to give away the ending of your match, so it makes sense that they're going to not obviously give it away. So, I think it's time it goes on Bayley.
This is the perfect story to give it to Bayley. Give it her the big win in front of 13,000 people.
In Sasha's home turf. Like, that's the thing. This is Sasha's hometown, her home turf. It makes sense to put it on Bayley, because you can always put it back on Sasha. Like, that's not a big deal, but it's time to pass that torch to the next person and set Sasha up to go to the main roster, because it's time for her to move on and move forward and move towards the next challenge, which is the Divas Championship, because I would suspect that since Sasha made Nikki tap and Charlotte has made Nikki tap, that at Night of Champions, we're going to see Charlotte and Sasha versus Nikki for the title. And they're not going to want Sasha to be holding the championship at the time that she goes for Nikki's title.
They've had Bayley beat Emma. They had Bayley beat Charlotte. They had Bayley beat Becky. She's conquered everything in her way to get to this point. Her failing hurts her.
A lot.
Bayley needs this win. Bayley gets this win.
Yeah, I say Bayley wins. It's time.
It's built right. This is they've done this right.
This is the very, very classic underdog story with her. They've told it perfectly. It works beautifully. And it's time. It's really time for Bayley to get the title. Give it to her. Let her go, let it go over. I mean, worst case scenario, you can put the title back on Sasha if need be. But I don't think it's going to be one of those situations. It's move Sasha forward, give Bayley the title, let Bayley hold the title until she's ready to go up to the main roster.
And Bayley has Emma and Dana Brooke as her next contenders.
Yep.
The Magic 8-Ball disagrees, by the way.
Of course it does.
And then there's the main event. Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, NXT title ladder match.
Holy crap. This is going to be good.
It's going to be great.
Honestly, truthfully,
I don't know.
I don't know. I say Balor, though.
Here's the thing. Kevin Owens needs a win.
Kevin Owens needs a win, but I say Kevin Owens gets his win on SummerSlam.
But here, I threw this out on Sunday with Omega, because he was torn with Kevin Owens stuff. And it's you're really torn, because if you think about it, if Kevin Owens wins on Saturday, and he goes into SummerSlam and loses, it hurts him as the NXT champion. Kevin Owens wins on Saturday and then goes on to Sunday and wins, he's a strong champion now. But if he loses and then wins, it sort of makes Cesaro weak. This is why it's all hard, and it was hard picking the SummerSlam match earlier. And again, they taped things as a swerve.
It doesn't make sense to put the title back on Owens. It really, really, truthfully doesn't. And honestly, if you're going to have Owens, if you're going to hang a loss on Owens, it's better to hang it on him at TakeOver and have him lose in a ladder match, because that's going to hurt him less than getting pinned in the middle of the ring.
Finn Balor walks out of the... Finn Balor will be in name the NXT champion when TakeOver is over.
Now, whether, you know, Owens runs away with his title or not, that's a different story.
That's the other thing, because when, that's what I'm saying. Because Kevin Owens mentioned he's going to take the title no matter what in the promo.
So he Ambroses the title?
Yeah, Owens is going to have possession of this belt in the next 7 days after TakeOver. Somehow, some way, I would assume. Oh, Finn Balor's got to win, because again, that sends the crowd home. Technically we'll send the crowd home happy, because you don't know. But then against this crowd, you don't know, will Owens, because Owens is big in New York, who he'll be, if he'll be the favorite either. Oh god, this is gonna be tough. Oh.
Like I said, it doesn't make sense to put the belt back on Owens. He's on his way up as well. This should technically be his last show before he gets sent up full time. So to me, it doesn't make sense to take the belt off of Balor unless you're going to have Zayn do it and Zayn is not ready to come back.
No, he said in an interview he's not ready.
So it's like, honestly, the way I can see it playing out is you leave it on Finn, Breeze challenges for the title, Breeze wins the title, takes it off Finn. Those two finish that out. Finn goes up to the main roster. Breeze holds the title until Zayn is ready to come back, and then Zayn comes back and takes the title off of Breeze. Those two feud over it, and then somebody goes up from there. Because basically, it's you hold the NXT title before you go up. That's kind of how that goes, because if you notice, there aren't a lot of multiple NXT champions. It's usually a one-and-done deal. When they put the belt on you, that's a sign that you're ready to go. And so they've got it. They had it on Owens when he first came in. He's now up on the main roster. They've got it on, you know, they've got it on Balor right now. Balor will be up in the next 6 months, if not sooner than that.
Make very strong points.
So honestly, it doesn't make sense to put it on Owens unless you're going to put it on Owens and then he and Balor feud for the title and Balor wins the title back on the rematch and pins Owens in the middle of the ring and they do like a loser leaves NXT match where whoever wins, that's it, you're done.
That's possible.
But that's honestly just too damn convoluted for words. So it's like, just put it on Finn and leave it on Finn. That's easier.
Yeah, I say Finn, you say Finn, 8-Ball says no.
Well, you know what, 8-Ball? Screw you. We don't like you, so there.
Take that, 8-Ball. So that's TakeOver. I'm excited. This is going to be epic.
Epic's a good word for it.
It's 13,000 strong in Brooklyn for 2 hours live on the WWE Network.
I think the crowd's going to be really good for this.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be really hot for it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If that's the case, this is going to be nothing short of epic.
And it'll be just a prelude to SummerSlam.
Yeah, which, again, this is going to be a good weekend for wrestling. A really good weekend.
You're a WWE fan? Get the WWE Network. It's free for a first month. It's $9.99 every other month.
It's worth it.
It is worth the price of admission. Just saying. So get the WWE Network, and if you want to know what's going on, you may listen to Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, if you want live commentary on TakeOver or semi-live, depending on, you know, what's going on at the time, or even live reactions.
To at least the second half of TakeOver?
To the second half of TakeOver, tune in to Cards Against Humanity Saturday night, because it should just be ending when we go on the air.
We'll be in the second hour when we go on the air for Cards Against Humanity. So,
does it start at 8 or 9?
Starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. 8:30 is the pre-show. Be ready, people. Be ready.
Yeah. Be ready. This is going to be epic. You don't want to miss it.
But I say we're done.
I say we're done, so let's plug some stuff and get up out of here.
This is where we plug the things with the places and the stuff. Saturday night, as we just mentioned, it is CB Radio's Midnight-ish, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/ Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Go to CBRadioLive.com, hashtag Lane Rob, countdown to 400. Has begun Sunday. It is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, covering SummerSlam. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/ Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night's Raw Post Show. We'll recap everything that happens on the fallout of SummerSlam, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back right here next Thursday night for another edition of Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, Rack Radio Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. As mentioned earlier, SummerSlam Pickup, win a copy of Daniel Bryan's book. Go to Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio. Join into the contest. You can win a copy of Daniel Bryan's book, physical, if you live in North America.
Yeah, sorry, we can't ship international.
Yeah.
Sorry!
The only, as far international as we're going, is Canada. So...
sorry.
But you will get a copy of the book if you're international and you win. We have other means to get you a copy of the book. It's just not physical.
Yeah. We can get you digital.
Yeah, we got a digital copy coming your way if you're international. Get us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes, Wild Talk Radio Network, or Stitcher and iTunes, Rock Radio Show.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Please don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, or I should say TNAsylum.net, Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I hope everybody enjoys TakeOver. I hope everybody enjoys SummerSlam. Tune in next week because we are going to be giving our reactions to it, and you'll hear all the fallout from the shows. But till then, he's Rock. I'm Lindsay. This has been The Rack, and we will see you next week. Bye. Don't ever turn me down. No, I don't want to hear another song.